Yes, we were 5 when we met, so that means I'm only 30, right? Everybody's got that, right? Oh, goodness. Well, y'all, I loved Amy's message about creating because I love creative things, and I love how, you know, how God is so good at taking something that maybe was not used for its right purpose and then repurposing it and making it something beautiful. And I was just reminded as she was talking that this bracelet that I have, I got it at one of the shows at the convention center, and this was made in Haiti, and it's used to raise money to help people, but it's made from a recycled oil drum. And I thought, isn't that cool? That's really a lot like God. He takes things that seem like they're dirty and they should be thrown away, and he makes them beautiful and repurposes them. So that is just really exciting to me, and I love our theme for this retreat, the whole concept of restoration. And for me, I love art. I love anything artistic, and I love just weird things. One of my favorite things is mosaics. Are you guys familiar with what mosaics look like? They're little tiny pieces of color tile, and they get put together in these beautiful pictures. And I had the privilege of going to Israel back in 2003, and my favorite thing, one of my favorite things, or lots of favorite things, it's hard to even put it into words, but I was like this all the time. Look at that. Look at that on the ground. Can you believe that they had this? They walked on this. Stories, incredible stories, mosaics from the 4th century, the 5th century, that were there and told the stories of the early church because they weren't using written language very much, so they had to have pictures. And one of my favorites from that is this picture, which Amy referred to, is the from the story where Jesus takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and he multiplies them, and he feeds 5,000 people. So this is a mosaic that's in a church. First church was built probably, I think, about 3rd century B.C., and, of course, destroyed, rebuilt, restored, destroyed, rebuilt. Well, back in, like, the 1800s, the Roman Catholic Church got possession of this property, and they did excavations, and they found this mosaic tile floor that dates back to the 4th century. So, of course, you have to bring it home in a cup so you can look at it every day. And for me, this reminds me, you know what? No matter what I have to bring, I can bring it. I just bring all I have to God, and I let him take it and bless it and break it and make something beautiful out of it and do something miraculous. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is from broken to beautiful. And I realized even when after I had been thinking about, why did you call it broken to beautiful? And I realized, you know, the reality is that going from broken to beautiful isn't really an all or none. It's like a continuum. And so there really is this tension between broken and beautiful coexisting at the same time. I don't know if you ever experienced that in your life. Things happen, and they hurt, or you might get broken. Things happen. You do something, and you're like, man. But there's that process of restoration and just converting that brokenness to something that's beautiful. As I was preparing for this, I was looking things up and found out there's this really cool Japanese art form. And I can't pronounce it really well. There's 2 words. I'm going to use the short one. It's called kintsugi. And what they do is they take a piece of pottery that was broken. Of course, you know, back then they didn't have Walmart to go to. You drop your cup, you break it, you don't go, and you just go buy another one. These are handcraft pieces. They're important. So what they did was they found an artisan who would take resin, mix gold into it, and repair these pieces of pottery. And so now the story, of course, you know, Japanese, they have their own beliefs, but I love what they think about this is that the imperfection is what creates the beauty, and the imperfection and the restoration process gives it more value. Isn't that true of what God does with us? That he takes our brokenness and he adds the pure gold of his presence, the pure gold of his healing, and the end product is so much more valuable than anything we ever started with. Now, breaking can happen in lots of ways. You guys, how many of you got to see Scrooge this past Christmas at Cathedral? Anybody? Fantastic. Okay, so when we first said we're going to do Scrooge again, I was like, okay, I think I'm excited. No, I'm really scared. Because the last time we did Scrooge, I did something really stupid. I mean, really stupid. Anybody ever see Risky Business? Okay, I was not in my underwear, just for the record. But I was in socks, and I was in the worship center, and it's a very hard concrete floor. And I decided I would take a little slide. And I was sliding this way, And my upper body stopped, but my feet did not. And they went like this, and I went down, and I watched my arm as I went down. I watched it bend this way, in a way it should never bend. And so you have my x-ray of my lovely little break. You can see there's my wrist, and then down below that, this big bone, nice little fracture. And then there's a little tiny bone that's up here. It got broken off. So it's all kind of fun. So we go to the orthopedic, and they're like, well, I thought, oh, this is just going to be, they're going to cast me, no big deal. It'll be easy. We'll get that fixed really quick. So he's like, I'm going to bring in a hand specialist. I'm like, oh, dear Lord, what have I done? So he's like, well, yeah, you're going to need surgery on that. So then, you know, they talk about when bones heal are stronger than they were before. So I didn't just get to heal. I got to get a titanium plate. Isn't that lovely? So that is the inside of my arm. Isn't that beautiful? So I refer to that Christmas as the Christmas that I broke myself. And I don't know about you, but there are times in my life I have done things that I have broken to myself. But then there are other times in my life where things have happened to me that have broken me. This is just a glass bowl from the dollar store. And because Virginia is here and she handles our insurance, and I don't want any liability for hurting anybody, I'm opening this nice little plastic bag. You're welcome, Virginia. But honestly, and if this doesn't happen, I have a backup plan. Sometimes what happens is this. What do you do with the pieces, ladies? What do you do when the pieces, when your heart is broken? What do you do when you can't have a child? What do you do when your husband cheats on you? What do you do when you lose your job? What do you do when your friend betrays you? What do you do when it looks like this? What do you do? Anybody got a broken piece? What do you do with your broken pieces? Is it over? I promise you, if I did not believe in God, and I know so many other people in my life, if they didn't believe in God, it would be over. But what he does is the most incredible thing. He takes all these broken pieces, and he makes something beautiful. And I promise you, in my head, when you have things that happen, in your head you think, well, when it goes back together, it should look like it looked before. But does it? I promise you, the chances are 99 to 1 that it's not going to look anything like what it did before. But because God is so good, my dollar store bowl, perhaps it turns out to look like something like this. A beautiful crystal bell that makes a gorgeous sound and heralds, I've got a great God who loves me and does miracles. He brings beauty out of brokenness. I was talking to a friend about this and I said, you know, I want y'all to be able to see this because that's important. And I'm going to ask forgiveness now because I'm not sharing a name, but what she said was so powerful. She said, you know what? I'm realizing that I'm not completely healed, but there are places in me that are restored. And so out of the places where I'm restored, I'm going to give out of that. I'm going to give out of that place where I'm restored. I'm not fully together, but I'm going to give out of that and see what God does with it. Sounds a lot like the fishes and loaves story, where you have a little boy who says, well, Jesus says, who's got anything? We've got 5,000 people to feed. And the little boy, we've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. I don't know what you can do with it, but I'll give you what I got. So I bring my broken pieces. And what I've learned in my life is that so much of this is, do I trust God with the whole bag? Or do I say, I think I can only give you this part because this is really all I'm really like you're safe to give you. And so for me, a lot of that journey from broken in the process to beautiful is that I first have to acknowledge, I feel like this. This is what's happened. I'm hurt, just to be honest about my emotions. And I promise you, that is hard for me. I'm a firstborn child. I want to look perfect. I want it to look good. I want to feel like I have it together, and I don't. But if I don't bring all of this to God, what can He do? What can He do? So for me, my journey has been learning to trust God with all of my broken pieces, to trust Him with every part of me. But so much of my journey has been just learning about Him and our relationship and how He feels about me. And as I was getting ready for this, I felt like God said, go back to 2005. Now, that's a decade ago. And I went back to 2005. I'm like, really, God? There are some things that I am still struggling with. There are some things I'm still waiting for that are in this journal. But I want to see if you see maybe a little theme. I'll do my best just to go quickly through this. But just wondering if you might see a theme. This, I was just journaling. And when I journal, I just talk to God about what's going on. A lot of times I'll just say, you know, this happened, we did this event, or I'm writing down scripture. But I had had a dream that night. And what I felt like I had heard being said in the dream was, God doesn't remember, He's forgotten. And I had to come back and say, Lord, I know that's not true. I come against that spirit of doubt in myself. Help my unbelief. You don't forget. I trust Your timing, and I declare that I believe in You and that You hear me and You love me. There's another thing. I have a choice. God said, you have a choice to repent and allow me to restore you, or choose the path that creates distance between us. I always come near and make myself available. You're the one who hides. Sound anything like Adam and Eve, maybe in the garden? Come out of hiding. When you do, be honest with me. Don't play games or blame my other children. Own what you have done. It's the only path of restoration. So many times in here, I pray, God, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Help my life. And then here's the invitation. Come deeper into my love for you. I'm washing away all the hurt and pain and filling you afresh with my Holy Spirit. The days ahead are filled with hope and purpose. See now the springs bubbling and rising in you, refreshment for you and everyone around you. You will experience the living stream first. Drink deeply and continually. I have to have a lot of time with God, can you tell? And okay, just for the record, this journal started in December, on Christmas Day of 2004. And as of here, we're only in March. How many times have I been saying the same thing to God and Him having to tell me over and over and again? And I love His patience with me. I just love how He loves me and how He's so patient. And here's just your cry. God, restore the visions that were aborted, the pieces that were pruned and need to be restored. Just help. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. And He does. And then I love this because it so fits into what Megan said last night. Do not let the enemy steal the treasure within you. I feel like this was what God was saying to me. Do not, twice. When God says something more than once, I really try to pay attention. Do not let the enemy steal the treasure within. Guard it with your very life. Let nothing move you from my purposes in you. Keep trusting. Keep moving in me. And as I keep going through this, there was just that clear sense of, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? And so now, I fast forward to 2015. I'm coming to the end of this journal. 10 years have passed. Again, there are several things that God has healed. There are several things I'm still waiting for. One of the things, and you know, there's things that I think we dream about, and we always have to trust that God's heart for us is the best. And the things that we desire, sometimes they don't happen. And it's not because He doesn't love us, it's because He does love us, and He has a bigger plan. So for us, we have not had children, and many of you know that, and I can't give you a reason why, but it hasn't, and we haven't moved forward with any other alternative means of becoming parents, but and that's been a point of grief. That's a place of brokenness that I live in all the time. I go to friends' gatherings, and we talk about kids, and I'm so happy for them, and my kids are having grandkids, And my friends, they're enjoying the grandkids, and I think about my mom, and like, she doesn't have grandkids. But the reality is, I know what I've been told. And like Amy was saying from the voice of Mike Lewis, I remember one Sunday after a service, he's like, I think I have a word for you. I'm like, what? And I had been interacting with some of our younger guys that are coming up in leadership. And he said, I was watching you and God told me, he said, I have given her many children. I have given her many children. And I would certainly rather have the kids that God wants me to have than the ones that I would try to make on my own. So for me, that's that blend, that tension of broken and beautiful, all at the same time, that I still rejoice, but then there's still that vacancy in my heart. But then I know that God's filling it in a whole different way. So I don't know what your place of broken is, and it's okay to be broken, and it's okay to go through the process. It's okay to feel. It's okay to be upset. It's okay to be angry. But do it with the right person. Do it with the one who loves you best and has the biggest and most important plan for your life, because he knows and he loves you and he wants you to experience this beauty out of what seems so, so unbeautiful. So just to leave you with some encouragement, as I finished up this journal, which I thought was really interesting, he asked me some questions and then I got to respond. Do you trust me to protect you? Yes, God. Do you trust my timing? Yes. Will you obey me? Yes. Will you go where I send you? Yes. Do you know that nothing can remove you from my hand? Yes. Will you lay down your grievances and entrust them all to me? Yes. Would you be free from the mental anguish of disillusionment and feeling let down, rejected, discarded, and forgotten? Yes. Are you open to the renewing of your mind? Yes. Then he says, and whatever the question he asks you, and where you respond, yes, amen, so be it. Be free, dear one, from all that has plagued you for so long. I am rewriting pathways in your mind, healing, restoring, changing your attitudes and affections and aspirations. Expect new and fresh motivation. Expect vision. Expect miracles. Expect my provision, my freedom, my love. Live with brave love. Drink deeply from the wellspring of life, for a new day has dawned. And I believe that's for us, this retreat. Close this chapter. Just as this journal comes to an end, and you prepare to start fresh, so is your life. It's a new day. Embrace it boldly and do not fear. I am with you. Now go. Release the past so you can receive the next blessing. Let me pray for you. God, thank you for the truth of your love. Thank you, Jesus, that you were broken. You were broken for us. You paid the ultimate price for our wholeness. So Lord, I thank you for just what you've done to make this possible. And so Lord, I do pray for all my girlfriends that as they journey through the rest of this retreat and as they head home, that you will do an incredible work in their hearts, in their minds, in their homes, Lord, in everything that is near and dear to them. Lord, I bless them. I bless them in an incredible sense of your presence. I bless them with this, with just your word coming alive to them. Lord, I bless them as they stand in worship, as they have worship music on in the car, as they're interacting with their kids, as they're going about daily life, that they will have the most overwhelming sense of your presence in their lives. God, continue this incredible work of healing and restoring and bringing us closer and closer to your heart, and helping us move forward in fulfilling the purposes and the ways that you've designed for us to live and bring you glory. God, we worship you. We thank you for the incredible privilege of being your girls. And we just rest in that identity today. Thank you so much. We love you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. there's a few questions. There's three questions that are going to come up on the screen. And we're just, honestly, I think what I'd love for you to do is just write these down, because you'll have time this afternoon. You'll have time when you get home, because not everything's going to happen here at this retreat. So write these questions down. Where has God turned your broken into beautiful already? What are you still believing for God to transform? And how's your trust factor? So just take 2 or 3 minutes. Don't take long, because these are really personal things. And so honestly, I probably wouldn't feel comfortable sharing this around a table. So we're not going to expect you to completely bare your soul here. But just go ahead, take a few minutes, write those down, chat with your girlfriends about things that you're comfortable chatting with, and then we'll take a break and we'll come back for our next session. Thanks so much.